Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Rodcast. Today, we are talking about the topic of purpose. And there's this question around, like, is this our best life? If Jesus comes into our life here on earth, like, does this then become our best life? And it's a big question. What does this kind of mean to you, Pastor Rod? And how would you kind of frame this question and the answer?
Well, Jesus will make our lives a lot better in every way, and we love him and we love his word and Holy Spirit power. But the Bible is clear that this is actually not our best life ever. There is another life called heaven, which is our best life future. And so this life should become better in every way, and I think we should discuss that here in missions. In different countries, there's a thing called redemption and lift, which means when you get saved, there will be a lift to your life. Your life will get better. No doubt at all. But the concept of this is your best life ever, first of all, is it's not true for a lot of people. They're suffering in a lot of areas. It's also not universal. There's a lot of countries of the world right now in war or in famine. It's not their best life ever. So when you see something that's not universal, it's not a universal truth, I think we have to be careful and go back to scriptures and talk about, well, what is this life supposed to be? What did Jesus promise or say about this life? I do believe in a better life, increased life, rise in a lot of ways. But purpose, this is our best purpose life ever. We live for purpose here on earth so that we can live our best life in heaven. And I think we need to discover what is heaven about and why should that be exciting? Because a lot of people think about heaven as hanging around on a cloud saying, hey, Richard, hey, Rod. And no. Heaven is still full of purpose, but that is our best life ever, something to look forward to build in now for the future. So let's call this our best purpose life ever.
And how did you kind of find that purpose for your own life? Obviously, your life has gotten better since coming to Jesus, mine too, and we talk about testimonies of God's blessing all the time in church life. But how did you discover the purpose life? And obviously you've lived a life of mission and going church planting, all this great stuff. How did you discover that?
Well, purpose is one of the great reasons why I became a believer at 19. And the reason why people do become believers is manifold, many, many reasons, which are all valid, you know, that they were lonely or hurt or wounded. Or for me, it was because I was protected by an unknown force. I've talked about that many times, being a fireman, a young fireman. But purpose was the other reason. I really did not have purpose. And, you know, growing up in the area of Sydney, Australia, we grew up in, was actually a very nice area. And in the natural, there was a lot of good things about my life, but I didn't have purpose. And it sent me on a search in my teenage years, well, even before my teenage years, into what was essentially the occult or New Age. Back then we called it New Age. I don't know what you call it now, spiritually seeking or whatever now. But I was definitely looking for purpose early on. Maybe part of that was my dad left when I was 8 years old, left our home, and he wasn't really part of my life essentially after that. He was around and he never abused me, hurt me. He just wasn't around. And so It made me think early. I was an early thinker on purpose. Now, I'm not an 8-9-year-old thinking, what is my purpose? You know, I'm not thinking that. Yeah. But over time, I'm thinking, well, what is life about? You know, and is there hope? I've actually heard it said that if you Google, hope is one of the number one searches with people looking for purpose. Like, is there hope is linked to is there purpose? And I think at that time in my life, I was definitely thinking, is there hope for a good life, a better future? And I ended up living quite a destructive life before I became a believer, destructive into all sorts of lifestyle and looking for purpose. I wasn't an evil person, even in my spiritual search or my days into New Age. Some of the things I was looking at was actually evil, but I wasn't an evil thinker. I was just thinking, will I find purpose in this?
More and, curious?
Sorry?
Was it like kind of more, just more curious, like you're looking?
It was more than curious. I was involved. It started as curiosity and hope. Okay. I'm looking for hope, but the more I'm getting into this new age stuff, it's heavy. And the more I get depressed, the more I get sad, the more I get, you know, more involvement with alcohol or drugs or something else. It was a spiral. And as I look back now, I can still remember thinking every day I've got to be careful when I say this, thinking about suicide, but it was a thought. It wasn't I never actuated the thought. It was just there. It was just, what's life all about? And even though there were many good things in my life, you know, loving family and had a great job, fireman, and loved it, loved surfing, there was still this nagging thing about me and the selfishness of my life. I had really living for me, and that's a very small world when you live for you. You know, it's a very small world. And, you know, a lot of people talk about that moment where they realize life is bigger than me and I want to find that. That's hope and that's search. So for me, when I was in a fire and almost died as a fireman, but I was protected, it made my search immediate. Like this vague search became a very immediate search, and people gave me a New Testament or a whole Bible actually and opened to the New Testament, the book of Mark. And they said, why don't you read here? And I read it and I really enjoyed it. I really could not believe how wonderful Jesus was and how he was answering so many questions about purpose. He was talking about healing and freedom and living a life for God. And I wasn't doing any of that. And I was curious. I was really curious now. It sent me to read the whole New Testament. I really loved reading about Jesus. Then the later books were a little bit more heavy. And then I reached Revelation and I'm thinking, wow, these guys, whoever wrote this is probably on drugs too, like me. I do love Revelation now, but it's a very esoteric book. And so I just kept coming back to the Gospels. I just loved reading on Jesus and some of the Old Testament books too that really spoke to me about purpose. So whenever there's a scripture on purpose, I'm like, my spiritual ears went up and, whoa, there's more about purpose. And then, 6 months after that fire protection experience that night, 6 months after, I became a believer. I received Jesus into my life and the darkness left forever and Jesus' power came on me forever. And I found purpose. I really did that first night, being filled with the Spirit, filled with Jesus. I began to live in absolute purpose to this day. That's almost exactly 45 years ago. By the time people are watching this in a couple of days, it will be actually 45 years I've been a believer. So I'm now 64. That was when I was 19. 45 years of purpose and never go back. Never go back to purposelessness. Never go back to New Age search. Never. Never go back because I found purpose. I found Jesus. I found relief. I found forgiveness. It all came on as a package. Now, for others, purpose is maybe a later thought. They come to Christ because of pain, hurt, whatever it is, loneliness, a whole bunch of stuff, all relevant, all great reasons to come to Jesus. But for me, my search was linked to purpose. So when I received Jesus, I found purpose. Now, that doesn't mean I was in Asia doing what I'm doing now, but there was a definite fulfilling moment of thinking I'm going to live my life now for eternity, which I think is a good definition of purpose, is living for now and living for eternity at the same time. Eye on now and eye on eternity, eye on heaven, I think is the way that Jesus is teaching us to live our lives, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's a great definition of it. I haven't heard it put that simply. Maybe some people might over spiritualize and say we should just live for heaven, but I don't think that's biblical either. Like, obviously we have a life here on earth and have people to influence here, and we need both.
And I often say life is long, life is hard, and life is good. You know, like, I've been a Christian 45 years. If I didn't have purpose, if I'd lost purpose, I would have made bad decisions. So purpose is also linked to the decisions we make, who we marry, and how we carry our marriage or children, work. It carries through everything. An eye on now and an eye on eternity holds us in place, you know, instead of being someone who wanders from purpose, not purpose, self. And I'm not saying I'm perfect in this, certainly not, but it really held me in place and it still does to this day. It's so important that we understand this concept of purpose. One of the early, like we're going to quote a few scriptures in a minute, but one of the early quotes I heard, I got saved in a little tiny church in Sydney. It was a sort of unusual church for me. I was a surfer and this was not that sort of people. I'm not hating on those people at all. It just was a different culture. But they were a missions church and that was really interesting to me. And there was a quote by a man called C.T. Studd. He's a British guy, lived 1880s area. And he actually played cricket against Australia. He was in the British cricket side against Australia where the Ashes, you know, that final, I think they burnt the wickets, put the Ashes, which we still talk about the Ashes today between Australia and England. He was in the original side. And he was in a one of the top universities, I think it was Cambridge. And he was a star. He was wealthy. He was a national cricket player, and his life was not full of purpose, even at that level. And he became a believer and went to, I think, India and Africa, became a great missions guy. But here's the quote. He said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And that little quote stuck in my brain to this day. And I quote it to you because I thought it was such an incredible definition of purpose. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And I think that is a holding in place concept, isn't it? It held him in place. It's held me in place, held you in place. The concept that we only get one shot at this life, you know. There's no reincarnation. There's no coming back. It's one only shot at purpose. And that's why it can't be my best life ever, even though it is a good life. I love my life. I love what God's done in my life, but I'm looking forward to a reward-filled life in heaven without trial, without temptation, without sin, without regret. Just this beautiful place with God and all these angels and you and your lovely wife and my wife and our family. And there's this amazing concept. Even then, though, we're not hanging on clouds, as I said before. We're living a purpose-filled life. Purpose is part of God. It's really a concept. People don't talk about God as being a purpose God, but it's exactly what the Bible does say. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last into eternity, into destiny. So destiny is a big part of this conversation of purpose. Yeah. And I know you lived that life too, right, Richard? You came on early into purpose, didn't you?
I think purpose is probably my main testimony, like in a word, of the last 17 years of being here at Lifehouse. Now, I did know Jesus before that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see how his purpose was being worked out in my life. And that led to some frustration.
Yeah.
Because I believed what the Bible was saying about this big life. And you see these disciples doing great things. And then you just feel like your life's so ordinary. And so you try to fill that with different things. And that doesn't always, you know, that's not always with wise things. And so,
yeah,
that, you know, I end up running away to Japan and find Lifehouse. And then purpose was really unlocked in that environment where we're talking about, we're going to see God change Japan.
Yeah.
And even though I don't even live in Japan anymore.
And Hong Kong.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing that got me in was this big thing. And I hadn't heard that quote until later in my years. I have heard it before, but that summed it really up. Was I just knew I got to do something for God. Like that's the only thing that's going to last. The church is still going to be around in another 2,000 years. And I got to sow into the church over, you know, any business or whatever else. And even recently I As you know, I spent some time in Australia on a holiday with my family, had a great time. I'm from a place near Sydney as well. Very nice and lots of great comforts at home. But I just love my purpose life here in Hong Kong. We got comforts here too. I'm not saying we're uncomfortable. It's awesome. But it is interesting, you know, reflecting on comfort over purpose. Mm. There's definitely some choices we have to make there. Is what do I want my life to be about, and what are the things that I'll be proud that I made those decisions, you know, later on. And I have tried to choose purpose over these last number of years and not give in to the temptations of choosing comfort or ease.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier to not be a leader. I think it's easier to not, you know, lead in the church or things like this. But this gives me purpose. It's easier to not be a parent too. But it's a wonderful experience and it's worth it. So yeah, it's not easy, but it's good. And I think you've made many courageous, difficult decisions. I've seen you do that over, you know, the 17 years that I've known you. And I think, you know, you've lived that out. And I think it's a great way to live. I want to live like that.
I think if we backed away from purpose, let's hypothetically, we just back away, not going to be a leader, not going to be this. I think we get bored pretty fast.
Very fast.
Living a life of comfort. You know, it's like people when they retire in Australia. A lot of people, the first year is the yippee year. Let's go play golf. Let's go around Australia. Let's do all these things. But many people after a year want to do something. They want to reinvest again. They want to have some involvement. Not everyone, but there is this thing that happens after I've had my time. You had a 1 month away. You've come back. A lot of people have a 1 year away and really want to come back and do something with their lives. So I think there is... And many older people also really invest in their grandchildren. That's another whole purpose. But so I'm not saying you have to do something, but keeping active, keeping involved, keeping building something like family life is a big part of life. I think if we backed away, is my point, I think we would soon say, got to get back to purpose. I just think that. I think a lot of people, as they think about options, you know, people love to talk about, you know, YouTubers talk about, you know, retire by your 30 or 40, but they're still doing something after this. They're on YouTube. They're still doing something.
Yeah. Still building. Yeah.
There's just something in us that wants to make this life worthwhile, and a life that has no purpose, I think can be, I've got to be careful of my words, can be open to temptation, can be open, might be open to doing silly things. So purpose keeps us on track. It's like a track. It's a road. It's, in fact, the Bible, the Old Testament and New Testament talks about the way, walking in the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But even Old Testament, the concept of Torah or law, it's actually not law. It means direction. It means the path, direction on the path. The Old Testament concept of living a life, a good life, is on the path. And when you get off the path, that's when you need to get back on the path. That's called repentance or change. New Testament is actually the same. The way, Jesus is the way. And being on the way with him, on his path, no matter how hard it is, staying on the path, because when you get off the path, you want to get back on. It's just a very interesting concept of journey and path right through the Bible. In fact, even the Old Testament word, I'm getting to my nerding now. I'm nerding into my Greek and Hebrew. But the word for Zion, which is a lot of people talk about the church as Zion, the word Zion means landmark. So you're walking on a journey and there's a big mountain and you can see you're actually, it's a reference point. And I think that is actually New Testament purpose. You're living a life with Zion, a reference point, a big mountain that you're seeing. I'm traveling past it, towards it. Does that make sense? That metaphor is the concept of a landmark, and that is purpose. I'm not there yet. I'm not next to it, but I can see something, and I'm my perspective is good, and I'm taking others with me, like family, and if I'm a leader in the church, hopefully people in the church towards that landmark, which is Jesus, his world, his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom. Jesus spoke about his kingdom more than anything else. It was important, this concept of the Zion, the landmark, the kingdom. How are you going according to the kingdom of God? And I think that's motivational, that we live a great life now and then heaven. I think it'd be really sad to say to people, this is your best life now. Sorry, we're going to heaven. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If you were to say to people, sorry, you have to leave all your things behind. And all these Christians go, oh, that's so sad. Rather than leave it behind, let's go to heaven. You know, if we've sown ourselves so thoroughly into our things, now, people are not things. People are relationships. Okay, that's a different thing. But the concept of money and things, of it's all mine. And Jesus speaks to that. He says, you know, the man who keeps building bigger barns, but has no concern for the kingdom. Jesus calls him a fool or her a fool, because you're going to have to leave the barns to somebody or something and go to heaven. What's that going to be like? And I think that's a really important concept of this discussion, is what is actually heaven going to be like? What are we to look forward to in heaven? And there is a lot of scriptures about heaven that should encourage us.
Yeah, I think also, obviously, when you choose purpose, you choose other things as well that may confuse people, things like sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, a purpose life involves sacrifice. It involves voluntarily taking responsibility of different things. And these are things that people would see as burdens or, you know, why are you doing that? It doesn't make sense to someone who's oriented towards comfort.
Yeah.
Or pleasure maybe, or you know, or material wealth or something like that. It doesn't make sense.
After I was a fireman, I was a salesman for a number of years, and I read a lot of sales books. One of them was by a guy called Zig Ziglar. What a name. And he was like the John Maxwell of my 45 years ago life, or 40 years ago. A Christian, motivational writer on sales marketing. It was fantastic. And some of his quotes stuck with me as a young salesman. One of them is, you have to give up to go up in life. In other words, another one, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I think that was from Dale Carnegie. So the concept of success in the world has similarities with sacrifice, that it doesn't just come to you. And I think in this day and age, a little bit, it does come to you a little bit more with the ability to do things online. But the concept of true investment and achievement must include sacrifice. I don't mean sacrificing family at all, but it must include personal sacrifice of comfort, of time, of energy, of money. And now for us as believers, of prayer and seeking God and his word for our purpose. But you have to give up to go up in any form of achievement, which is sacrifice. So I don't think it is that strange a concept. I think it's how we package it. If we say to people, you got to sacrifice, it's pretty heavy. But if we paint a picture of what life could be if there was giving up something to gain something, and Jesus spoke those very words. He said, the person who keeps their life will lose it, but the person who gives away their life will keep it. This paradox that Jesus spoke about, it makes sense in this area of purpose and sacrifice. To get it, you've got to give up something. And but you gain a life of purpose and a life of joy. And you mentioned before about marriage and parenting. I mean, that's a sacrifice to give up your personal space and personal time and money. But you gain so much, right? And this area is a very different area than what we're talking about, but a lot of young people today are saying, I'll never get married. It's too big a sacrifice. Yeah. And I would say, but the gain is so high. I would really encourage you to pray and think about that sacrifice. What do you think? I mean, you deal with a lot of young people with probably some of those ideas.
Oh, yeah. And I think because we've got a large family by Hong Kong standards, and so we stick out a bit. And we were, especially when the kids were really little, we would have people stopping and saying, "Ah, Ho San Fu," which basically means like "poor you." It's like, what?
Really?
We'd say, we'd just answer back like, we're so happy. Like, ho hoi sam. Because it's, you've got it all wrong. You're focusing on the cost and not the reward.
Right.
And I think it's, I think that can bleed over into other things like, commitments in a marriage. People see the commitment. Oh, that's a lot of commitment. And, you know, but they're not looking at all the rewards of marriage.
Mm.
It's wild to focus on the downside when it's so small compared with the upside.
Yeah.
Any good investor would see that as a terrible understanding of the, you know, you if it's got a high upside, then you'll take the downside.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is a problem, this thinking.
So we've got to be, as Christian leaders, we've got to be, a terrible word, but salespeople. I'm an ex-salesman. Salespeople of a better life, next life, right? We've actually got to be presenting destiny and heaven as part of our preaching. Because unless we put it before people, they won't know why there's such a big investment in the next life. And I'm going to share a scripture from 1 Corinthians 3 where Paul is writing to a whole church called the Corinthian church. They're not a very healthy church, but they've got some good leaders. And Paul is writing about this, about life. It says, by the grace, this is 1 Corinthians 3:10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder and someone else is building on it. He's saying I'm like an architect, I'm like a builder, and others are going to build on what I'm building. So that's part of purpose, like building more than for myself. Each one should be careful how he or she builds. So this is Paul's great advice. Be careful how you build. Only one life. Only one life. If any man or woman builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, the work will be shown for what it is, because the day is a code word for the day of Jesus' return, the day of judgment. And by the way, the word judgment is the English word crisis. The day of crisis that we all discover our eternal rewards. The day will bring it to light. Bring what to light? The work. What do we do? And it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man or woman's work. If what they have built survives this fire, they'll receive a reward. And I'm looking forward to my reward. I've sown so much into this world to get a reward in that world. If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one going through the flames. So we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. We just need to put that big caveat right there. But going into heaven, there is another world, and it's a world of rewards and purpose. Purpose doesn't cease. And so our concept of going to heaven is we're going in and we go through the crisis day, the judgment day, through because of Jesus, and now we receive either rewards or no rewards for setting up this incredible life in heaven. Now, there is no sadness I can't even say that. There's no tears in heaven, put it that way. There's no sin, there's no sickness, there's no death. But there is the concept of what my life was. And we know this from a couple of parables, one parable where Jesus talks about Lazarus and the rich man. They both die. And Jesus takes us behind the veil, the other side of death. And actually there's conversation, there's regret, or there's happiness. Jesus takes us onto the other side into a world that we need to understand is real. It's a real world. Spiritual world becomes natural around us. We go to heaven and we receive rewards. And I believe, I'm going to go into my spiel right now. I believe it is a life of absolute purpose. What purpose? Well, we're with our people we love, right? You're with Janice and the kids in heaven. That's the goal. And of course, me and Viv and the boys and all the people I know. Like heaven's going to be full of relationships that we know. It's conscious. We carry on our relationships in heaven. It might be different with our marriage, as Jesus said, but we carry on our relationships. There's also going to be incredible building concepts. I believe when God, he says, Jesus in parable says you'll receive more authority or responsibility to do something in heaven.
Yeah.
Whatever we did here on earth and enjoy, it's just more. Best life ever. Your best life ever. And it's not just for wealthy people. It's not just for people without much problems. Everybody who loves Jesus gets to heaven and they can get rewarded and it can be their best life ever, even if this world has had on earth has had so much pain, has had so much poverty or sickness or whatever it is, or wealth. I don't really care what it is on this world, but in that world, it's universally equal. It's fair that everybody will receive what they should receive from God, and we're going to build on that. And I also think heaven's going to be full of storytelling. You're going to tell stories of Hong Kong, and I'll tell stories of, you know, Japan and wherever. We're going to be interacting with world shakers and leaders who live for God, and I'll meet CT Studd, who that cricketer, and say, well, tell me about those days. So heaven's full of people, real people, real stories. And it talks about having food up there and drink and Jesus in the center. And it's just going to be purpose-filled life. I'm preaching now, but I'm so excited when I think about it that it's not hanging around on clouds being bored. It's going to be about receiving rewards. And here's what Jesus said. Those rewards can only be built in this life. They can't be built in that life. They're built in this life, what we did for Christ and for God's kingdom. So I'm living a great life now. It's not my best life, but it's a good life. Mm. But for those in the world from certain countries that I've been and I look at their poverty and their pain and their sickness, I can say to them, this is a hard world. We're going to try and help you make it better, which we do in some of our mission work. But you're looking forward to your best life ever in heaven. It's a very important message. It's really important. But Jesus also says to the rich man in this world, you need to build your life well here or else your stuff's going to get burnt up. And in heaven, you're not going to have a big reward or any reward getting through heaven because of Jesus, but everything's being burnt up. So I've said a lot of theology there, Richard. You want to bounce off any of that? But heaven needs to be reframed as what the Bible says.
Yeah, well, I remember in high school, I had a non-Christian friend who said, I don't want to go to heaven because you just sit on a cloud all day. And sure, that sounds boring if that's all you do. I'm glad there's a lot more to it than that. I also think about sometimes you can go through seasons of sacrifice and, you know, like maybe living for a bigger purpose. And then you can almost get to a point where you might start thinking, you know, I've sowed enough and I've, you know, got to a point where, you know, now I can enjoy my life a bit and, you know, you can take your foot off the gas a little bit with your mission or your sense of purpose. And I think I have seen that a bit sometimes, maybe people being passionate for a season or maybe young people while in their 20s and then kind of losing that a bit. I'm not talking about life stage changing because, of course, you know, people get married and have kids and things change, but I'm talking about like kind of taking your foot off the pedal a bit in terms of sacrifice or, you know, responsibility or something like this. And the vision's kind of dropped a little bit. Have you seen that happen before? And why do you think that happens?
Yeah, I have seen it before. I've been around a long time. I have seen it in many places. And first of all, I can't understand it. But I must accept it. You know, I'm not judging people. That's their choices. But I don't understand it. Because a life with purpose is always better.
Yeah.
I think there are times, I mean, we talked about retirement a while ago. I think retirement is a great concept as long as you've got goals. So I think you don't have to, you know, put the, you know, foot to the floor in your car to accelerate the whole time. I think there are seasons. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be happy with your choices. And I say to people in that situation, well, you can make all the choices, but don't cut all your bridges. You know, why don't you try it and then maybe come back to purpose. So no judgment, but I do think that life is long. I said before, life is long, life is hard, life is good. That's my mantra at the moment. I want to tell young people, life is long. Make good choices. Life is hard. You better get used to that. You better be close to God and trust Him in the hard times. But life is good. Life is very good, living for God. So I think if people have lost it, I would just really encourage them. Say, you know, do you remember how great it was? Or do you want to live this life? And if they say, yeah, I say, okay, I'm not controlling anybody, but I want to be the speaker that motivates to come back to purpose. I want to be that preacher teacher that looks at people and says, you could come back, just a step back, make a decision back. Someone once said, you know, guidance with God is like being a turtle, right? But it sticks his head out, looks around, and then proceeds, but he can also put his head back. And I think some people think that a bad decision is a long process, but be like a turtle. Have a look. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about decisions. Have a look, yep, and make sure you can retreat back into whatever it is. In this case, purpose. Maybe that's a bad analogy, but the concept of you don't have to make big steps out of purpose to understand what you've lost. Little steps. I'm not saying you should take any steps out of purpose, but you know what I'm saying? Like if someone starts making those moves, I'd say just take a little
come
step.
Come back quick.
And come back. And someone who's outside, I have conversations all the time on Sundays. I had one 2 weeks ago with a great guy in our church. And I've just known him for a few years now. And I just said to him, are you in leadership at the moment? He said, oh, no, I'm having a long break. And I said, well, why don't you consider, you're a good guy, why don't you consider coming back? I think you'd enjoy it. And he went, okay. Now, that's an unresolved story, but I believe I'm going to talk to him again. If he says, no, I'm not going to come back, that's fine. He's still a great guy. But I felt it was an opportunity to speak to someone and say, you know what? I think God could be talking to you about coming back. What do you think? And I think that is pastoring. That's helping people, because some people don't know they could come back or aren't aware they could come back. And all of a sudden, I can come back. Maybe I should think about that. And I think people have lost motivation. We need to be a spark, not controlling, not heavy, not judgmental, but a spark. Hey, why don't you consider? So to answer your question, I have seen people move away, but I've also seen people come back pretty fast. And I'm believing that for everyone who has lost motivation or purpose, that they could come back. I've also seen people lose purpose and then out of that made very bad life choices. Now, that's a longer path back. They can come back to God immediately through forgiveness, immediately. But life choices, big life choices, have life ramifications. So I say to people, if you see that, we're not judging the person, but you need to take notice of what it looks like to make very bad decisions. And it says that in Proverbs a few times. It says, look at this guy. He's going past this girl. He's going to wreck his life. Have a look. So I think looking at bad choices helps us not to make bad choices. One of the popular TV shows are soap operas or comedies, because people make continually bad choices and we are laughing. We're laughing.
Mm.
But I say, if you put yourself in that category, you're not laughing. You're in stress. You know, like, I don't know if people remember Fawlty Towers. They call it the British number one comedy ever, with John Cleese. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's a man who runs a little hotel and he keeps lying and lying for half an hour. And it's just, you're laughing and it's stressful. In fact, my wife's from Argentina. She didn't like it at first because it was so stressful. She didn't understand the comedy. She does now. But the problem is we don't live in a soap opera. And so we can learn from that and laugh at that. But hey, I'm not going to do that, you know, lying and lying and lying. So take note of what takes you away from purpose and stop it. And I would say that as a pastor to people, you know, God does speak to you to stop things, but it's for your best future, your best purpose. God will speak to you. And God will speak to you and saying that's a bad thing. God will never say to you, you are a bad person. but he will say, that's a bad thing. You need to stop that, or there's a better life. And I think that's really important we separate the two. God is not saying you're a bad son or daughter, but that is a bad thing and that's going to hurt you. And that's where we read the Bible and we see warnings. So people, long way of saying, I have seen people live purpose for all sorts of reasons. But my role as a Christian leader is say, you can come back, you can make new choices. God's here, let's go. And be that speaker of hope to come back to purpose now. Because I think if people lose purpose, they will start making bad decisions.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think there's a lot of great stuff there. We'll have a conversation about this as well with some of our other pastors in a future episode. So stick around for that, guys. And thanks, Pastor Rod, for your time. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you enjoyed today's episode with Pastor Rod, why don't you subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this, and we'll see you next time.